Welcome back to Podcast Royal. I'm Jessica.
And I'm Rachel.
And we've had a lot happen in royal news since we recorded last week. So we are going to catch everyone up to speed. But we do want to start this episode off by acknowledging up top the difficult news that the Princess of Wales shared last Friday. We want to go ahead and send our sincerest and deepest thoughts and prayers to Catherine and her family. We are going to discuss the news in our royal rundown shortly, but just wanted to go ahead and do that at the top of the episode and send our well wishes to her and the family before we get into the content for today.
Yeah. And of course, I second that. And as ever, listeners, we've continued to get lovely messages from all of you via email, via DM. Please keep those coming. They really do so much to, we really do care about these people, meaning the royal family and you, of course, listeners, but it means so much. It's such an uplift to get a nice email or a nice DM from you. And when news slows down, which at this point, who knows when that will be, we will likely read some of them on air, but we're going to stick to obviously the massive news announcement that we have for this episode. Just know, listeners, that we read every single one of them. We try to respond to all of them, and we definitely appreciate them all.
Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and get into the royal rundown today. So first up, we're going to rewind all the way back to really last week when we stopped recording. I remember it wasn't too long after we finished the episode, Rachel, I sent you a quick text about this story. So we had news break, I guess it was last Tuesday evening here, that the Princess of Wales may have been a victim of stolen medical information, or as they say in IT, you've probably heard the term PHI, which is short for private health information. The London clinic where Catherine had her surgery in January initiated an investigation of up to, I think I read, three of its staff members who may have attempted to access her medical notes. That's what the report said that came out. So if any individual is found to be guilty in this, of course, they could face really serious repercussions, including criminal charges. Obviously, losing their job would be probably a very serious option on the table at that point as well. So this is a really, really big deal. You know, I think we expect cyber criminals like on the dark web to go in and attempt to hack hospital systems or access private patient data. But when it's a hired staff member at a hospital, I think that comes back as a really big reflection on how seriously an individual takes their role and the confidentiality that comes along with that role, and you know how they're able to be professional and honor that patient confidentiality. So in this particular case, it's not just negligence that we're looking at here. This is really, you know, it's a matter of integrity, and and a hospital's reputation really cannot tolerate conduct like that, especially when you're looking at the London clinic or a really high profile hospital. The CEO did make a statement following the news of this coming out. So he said, "There is no place at our hospital for people who intentionally breach the trust of any of our patients or colleagues." And they have not confirmed if Catherine's information was actually accessed or if it was a failed attempt to get her. I know, I think they were trying to find her medical notes, is what I read. But they did report that King Charles' private health information had not been compromised. And, you know, it just, I couldn't believe it when that story came out. It was like, what else are people going to do? We've already seen these conspiracy theories, and I think people were just going crazy looking for information.
Yeah, well, that's putting it mildly that she can't catch a break. Obviously, we're about to get into the big news story of the week. But yeah, you texted me that maybe probably not even an hour after we stopped recording last Tuesday. And of course, I thought, well, this will be the big news once again, that this will be the big news story of the week. And I was wrong. I just don't know how this story can continue to evolve and devolve the way that it has. So I know we don't have to tell you, listeners, just the absolutely devastating news on Friday that the Princess of Wales has been diagnosed with cancer. It is a type and stage that we don't know. We may never know. And as Jessica titled our episode a couple of weeks ago, it is none of our business. And it has come out since Friday, and Kate's video announcement that Kate actually wrote every word of the speech herself. She did not have speech writers. She wanted to deliver a speech rather than release a statement so the public could see that she is okay, especially since we haven't really seen her much in a while, since really Christmas Day, and that she intentionally wanted to do this alone on the bench there in the gardens of Windsor Castle without William, to show her strength, that she is strong, that she is resilient. So with that knowledge that Kate took the time to craft this speech herself, even though I'm almost certain, listeners, that you have all seen this video, I want us to give the Princess of Wales the respect of reading her words back to you. So we're both, Jessica and I, are going to do this in tandem. So I'm going to start, but these are the words from Kate's video message released at 6 p.m. London time on Friday, announcing her diagnosis of cancer. She said, "I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding whilst I have been recovering from surgery. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family, but I've had a fantastic medical team who have taken great care of me, for which I'm so grateful."
And she goes on to say, "In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London, and at that time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I am now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. As you can imagine, this has taken time.
It has taken me time to recover from major surgery in order to start my treatment. But most importantly, it has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that is appropriate for them, and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay." I'm on the verge of tears like this whole episode. Hold on, let me get it together. Okay. "As I've said to them, I'm well and getting stronger every day by focusing on the things that will help me heal in my mind, body, and spirits. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support, and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both.
We hope that you will understand that as a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. My work has always brought me a deep sense of joy, and I look forward to being back when I am able, but for now I must focus on making a full recovery. At this time, I am also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone."
Just absolutely beautiful words. So before we get into the details, this statement, which was filmed on a bench in the gardens of Windsor Castle, the release was timed to coincide with George, Charlotte, and Louis going on Easter break from school at Lanbrook, so they wouldn't have to likely face questions at school. It was released, as I said, last Friday, March 22nd at 6 p.m. UK time. That was 2 p.m. for me on Eastern time, 1 p.m. for you, Jessica, on Central time, so on. So it was immediately followed by statements of support from the King and Queen, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, James Middleton, Kate's brother. Later on, we've added this in since then, Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York, who herself is also battling cancer. And I would like for us to go over those before we get into our thoughts. So it came out over the weekends, just some really sweet anecdotes about the relationship between Charles and Kate. Came out over the weekend that the King was told of Kate's diagnosis probably sometime around the time that she learned of it in late February. And then on Thursday, March 21st, which was the day before Kate's announcement came out, Charles and Kate had a private emotional lunch at Windsor Castle together. So the two are close. They always have been, but private time, just the two of them without their spouses or without William, is more rare. But now, of course, they're bonded forever, not just through their work in the royal family and also as father-in-law and daughter-in-law, but as two people who have experienced cancer. Which this, like, can you even just like hear the words that we're saying? Like, these are like, if you would have told me 3 months ago that we would have been having this conversation, it's just especially, I mean, Charles, yes, but especially about Kate. Kate is 42 years old, but anyway, they're forever bonded as people who have experienced cancer and all that it does to the mind, body, and spirit. Another story came out over the weekend that I loved through some great reporting by the Sunday Times and the Telegraph and the Sun, that while Charles and Kate were in the hospital at the same time at the London Clinic at the end of January, their time in the hospital together overlapped that last weekend in January. The king toddled, which is a fun word, down the hall in his dressing gown to go comfort Kate as she too recovered. They were both discharged from the London Clinic on the same day. If you remember, listeners, that was Monday, January 29th. It has also been said that Kate was inspired to go public with her cancer diagnosis because Charles first went public with his back in February. I also want to revisit the timeline later. We will do that. But Jessica, let's hear from the King and Queen.
Yeah, so we had a statement from King Charles that came out via Buckingham Palace. A spokesperson released this, and it said, "His Majesty is so proud of Catherine for her courage in speaking as she did. Following their time in hospital together, His Majesty has remained in the closest contact with his beloved daughter-in-law throughout the past week. Both their Majesties will continue to offer their love and support to the whole family through this difficult time." We also had James Middleton, who we know is Kate's younger brother, and he posted a really touching tribute of the two of them in their younger years. He was, it's over on his Instagram if you haven't seen that, but they're standing together in front of a mountainous kind of landscape in the background, and he captioned that Instagram post with, "Over the years, we have climbed many mountains together. As a family, we will climb this one with you too."
James's message is what got me. Like that's what really took me down. I started crying after I read that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we also, over the weekend, we had a statement released from Fergie, the Duchess of York. She weighed in, and her statement said, "All my thoughts and prayers are with the Princess of Wales as she starts her treatment. I know she will be surrounded by the love of her family, and everyone is praying for the best outcome. As someone who has faced their own battles with cancer in recent months, I am full of admiration for the way she has spoken publicly about her diagnosis, and I know it will do a tremendous amount of good to raise awareness. I hope she will now be given the time, space, and privacy to heal."
Yeah, those three words just keep coming up. Time, space, mm-hmm. privacy. Time, space,
well,
privacy.
And I just want to point out, too, as you say that, just make note of how many times this family has had to ask for that since mm-hmm. January. And they shouldn't have to ask that many times.
Agreed. This should be, if there's nothing else that can get us to give them time, space, and privacy, may this be it. And Harry and Meghan also spoke out, I believe on Friday. They said, "We wish health and healing for Kate and the family and hope they are able to do so privately and in peace." And in their own way, Harry and Meghan said privacy, time, space, you know. So it's not lost on me how almost eerie it is, how similar Charles and Kate's experiences are and how in tandem it all is. So let's briefly go over the timeline as we have learned some new information surrounding it. So, of course, we know on Tuesday, January 16th, Kate had abdominal surgery at the London Clinic. News of the surgery was announced the next day, as well as news just 90 minutes later that the King would also spend time at the London Clinic that month. He, for a routine procedure for a benign enlarged prostate, his procedure, whatever you want to call it, was on January 26th. Both, as we just said, Charles and Kate were discharged from hospital on Monday, January 29th. 1 week exactly later, on Monday, February 5th, the King announced that cancer had been found through the prostate procedure, and that it was, and later the palace said it was not prostate cancer. And the King commenced treatment for cancer on the same day of his announcement, which again was Monday, February 5th.
So meanwhile, Kate was recovering home at home at Adelaide Cottage, and sometime around the end of February, Tuesday, February 27th-ish, which was the same day that her husband, William, pulled out of a planned appearance at his godfather, King Constantine's memorial service, the Princess of Wales learned that cancer had been detected after her surgery. So, of course, since then, we've had quite a dramatic month. We had the Mother's Day photo controversy. We had all of the conspiracy theories that just seemed to never end online. And then finally, this past Friday on March 22nd, we got that heartfelt video message just telling the world intimate details about what was going on in her own life. And it had been revealed that, again, you know, the timing of the release of this message did not have anything to do with the trolls online or the private health information leak from the London Clinic. So, you know, it was something that the Princess of Wales chose to do after she met with King Charles and thought about, you know, how she wanted to share that with the world.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that she wasn't intimidated by the London Clinic security breach or by trolls. This was timed around the kids and around their Easter break. And so it just happened as it did, but this was a very conscious decision on the Princess of Wales's part. She wanted to tell the public because she know this is all coming out from the Times, the Telegraph, all of these reports from people close to her. She wanted to tell the public because she knows she's in a public facing role. Again, she was fastidious about waiting for the kids to be away from school. The kids broke for break on March 22nd. They don't return. I don't think they're back until April 17th. So that's ample time. That's a lot of time to begin processing this as a family. They are out at Anmer Hall in Norfolk, their country home. They will not be attending the St. George's Chapel Easter service on Sunday. The King will. We'll get into that later in the royal rundown. But the Wales family of five will not be at the traditional Easter service on Sunday. They are coping privately as a family right now, as they should. There is currently no return date scheduled for Kate to come back to work, as the priority is and should definitely be her health and well-being. I've heard that we might see her intermittently, but it could be as late as September, but there's no hard and fast return date, and there probably won't be for a long time, and that is okay. So let's go back to the video for a moment. As Kate sits on that bench in the gardens outside Windsor Castle, you can see, if you look at the video again, you can see a row of daffodils blooming from a shrub in the background behind her. This was an intentional decision. So I did not know this until I was reporting the story, but the daffodil is a symbol used by cancer organizations around the world to, like, I cannot get through this without crying, to offer hope to those battling cancer. The daffodil blooms in the spring. It is well chosen because it symbolizes rebirth and new beginnings, resilience. It returns the same time each year. Mm-hmm. It has also come out that Kate, right around the time that she was pregnant with Prince Louis in 2018, donated 7 inches of her hair to a girl with cancer.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking about that with the daffodils. We have had so many around here near me popping up this spring. So really interesting timing with when they're in season and her announcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we've also spoken quite a lot on the show about Mila Sneddon. I'm sure our listeners remember her. At age 4, she was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. Mila is now 8 years old, and good news, she is in remission. But her story really touched Kate after one of her photos was included in the Princess of Wales photography project during the COVID-19 pandemic. So I know everyone probably remembers it was Hold Still was the name of that project. And after seeing the image, Catherine and Mila spoke on the phone, and Mila's photo ended up being among the 100 photos selected for the Hold Still exhibition in the book. And then in May 2021, Catherine and Mila met when Mila's from Scotland, and she and her family were invited to the Palace of Holyrood House in Edinburgh. And we all remember the famous pink dress the Princess of Wales wore per Mila's request. So since then, Mila has recently spoken out about Catherine. She told the Mirror, and I'm going to quote her. She said, she will be brave because I was, and she will fight like I did. So as we said, Mila's been cancer-free for 2 years, and it's being reported that she's making a get-well card, wishing Kate a speedy recovery.
Like, how really can you not, like, just want to, I actually haven't, like, sobbed about this yet. Yeah, I might do it on air, hopefully not, but just so much emotion here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so over the weekend, a Kensington Palace spokesperson released a statement that said the prince and princess are both enormously touched by the kind messages from people here in the UK, across the Commonwealth, and around the world in response to Her Royal Highness's message. They are extremely moved by the public's warmth and support and are grateful for the understanding of their request for privacy at this time.
And I pray that they get it. I pray that they get it. And you and I were just talking before we started recording about William. So I want to talk about William on the show for a moment. So how unreal is it? I don't care if you're the Prince of Wales or who you are. How unreal must it feel that William's wife, his father, and his aunt all have cancer right now? I mean, I said in the last episode that William is the unsung hero here. And I said that before I knew about this latest heartbreaking development. Add into the mix that William and Kate are raising three children, 10 years old and younger. The entire world is watching. William is in an unimaginable pressure cooker. Going even deeper, Kate's cancer diagnosis, though, it's filled with optimism, and I'm hopeful, as we all are, that she will make a full recovery. This, no doubt, triggers losing his own mother, Princess Diana, when he was just 15 years old, and how he, of course, would be shattered, obviously, if the same, God forbid, would happen to his own children, losing their mother far before they should. So,
yeah, and I think he's got pressure from those memories on two sides. So there's... you know, there's that fear from, you know, him losing his mother, but there's also just the immense stress of all the speculation and conspiracies that were going on. And he, you know, I believe he made a comment about that as well. So he's kind of got it from both sides.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. And so now, of course, in hindsight, we know why William pulled out, as Jessica said, of King Constantine's memorial service. It was because of this. And that's right. It's, so they find out that she has cancer, and then all of this starts happening, all of the piling on at the same time. I mean, it's just unimaginable. And even Jessica and I'll speak for you, Jessica, even when we thought that she had abdominal surgery, and that was that, we were fastidious about not piling on and about people not piling on.
Yeah. And I'm going to echo what you said about William. You know, I agree. I think that it is natural and right for us to be thinking about those, you know, going through treatment and dealing with a diagnosis. But a lot of times we forget about the stress and pressure that a spouse or a family member is under. And I just feel like, you know, we need to send William some prayers as well, because he's got a lot he's juggling right now, both, you know, with work and emotionally and as a parent, and being supportive as a spouse and a son. I mean, there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah, it's like unimaginable. Like it's even if it were just his father or just his wife, but all of it in front of the public eye, with children involved, with past trauma involved, he truly deserves our grace. And as we've said a few times, I hope now we can give the family the time, space, and privacy, as Kate specifically asked for, that they desperately deserve. So Kate seems optimistic about her treatment. We will happily share in that optimism with her. And Jessica, I just keep thinking about Christmas Day, right? As they did the traditional church walk at Sandringham. Who would have thought on Christmas Day at Sandringham, as we looked at the king, as we looked at the Princess of Wales, and for the first time in, you know, what, 30 years, the Duchess of York was there too, that all three would be diagnosed with cancer in the span of 2 months. I mean, we thought the second Annus Horribilis was 2020. I think that this has been blown out of the water. 2024 takes the cake. I mean, my goodness, every week, and I know for you too, every week my heart hurts more and more. And we are going to try to unpack this in just a minute, but the one question that I've heard over and over again in regards to the Princess of Wales statement is this: what exactly is preventative chemotherapy? I know what chemotherapy is. I think most people do, but I'd never heard of preventative chemotherapy before Friday. So The Guardian actually helped me out here. Here's what I learned. The treatment, which is known formally as adjuvant chemotherapy, is a course of anti-cancer drugs that's given to clear up any cancer cells that might remain in the body after primary cancer treatment, which is usually surgical removal of a tumor. It aims to, and again, keeping in mind that The Guardian nor us know Kate's exact details, but this is just generalizing. it aims to reduce the risk of the original cancer coming back and spreading. So this can happen when cancer cells, which are too small to detect with hospital scans and tests, are left behind after surgery. The risk of cancer returning tends to be smaller if the cancer is caught at a very early stage before it's had a chance to spread, but greater if the disease is found at a later stage or if it's spread to nearby lymph nodes. So a typical course of preventative chemotherapy lasts about 3 to 6 months, depending on the type and stage of the cancer, which we don't know in Kate's case, and we probably won't know, but that is determined by examining the cancer removed during surgery. So there's your abdominal surgery probably. So occasionally courses of adjuvant chemotherapy, are given over several years, but that's only in more rare occasions. So the side effects of this depend on the specific drugs given. Patients can experience tiredness, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and increased risk of picking up infections and a loss of appetite. The side effects arise because the drugs affect not only cancer cells, but all rapidly dividing cells, including hair, bone marrow, skin, and the lining of the digestive system. The damage to healthy tissues tends to be temporary. However, side effects usually disappear once the treatment is over. So younger people like Kate often tolerate chemotherapy better than older patients and experience fewer side effects. Of course, as ever, it depends on the patient and the particular drugs given, but it could take several months for a person to be back to full strength, hence why Kate is taking the time, as she should. So since younger people tend to be healthier and fitter than older people, Kate is young, Kate is fit, their recovery times are usually shorter. So listeners, I know that is a ton of information, but now that we actually have facts, I figure let's stay in the facts, at least for now, rather than opinion. But Jessica, I do want to know your opinion on everything other than the obvious that you're devastated, as am I, and hopeful for a full recovery. But let's hear from you. Where were you when you got the news? How did it make you feel? All of the things.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a weekday and I was working, and you were actually the one that kind of texted me and gave me a heads up that this big royal announcement was going to be happening. And at the time, I couldn't imagine what it was going to be about. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, I had no idea it was going to come from the Princess of Wales, but
yeah,
was wondering what was going on. And I think you sent me another text literally maybe a minute before it aired. And, you know, I saw the announcement come out. I saw the Prince and Princess of Wales post that on their Instagram account. And it really just felt like the world stopped for a second. I mean, I'm sure everyone can relate to the way I felt. It was a little bit just unbelievable. I mean, that was the last thing I would have expected to hear. And I think because that original statement where they shared it was non-cancerous, I think with all the conspiracies going on across the world, it didn't seem like anyone was really speculating around that, because it seemed like that reality had been put, or the possibility of that had been put to rest, and that wasn't going to be the case or the reality. And then when we heard that announcement, it was just, I mean, it was a mixture of disbelief and heartbreak all at once. She, like you said, she delivered that message beautifully. It was incredibly heartfelt. It was touching. I mean, there was so much courage for her to do that. I can't imagine the strength that it would take to share something so difficult that you're processing, and you're also having to explain to young children what's going on, and then have to open yourself up to literally the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
I just really, really felt for her in that moment, and really had a lot of admiration for her in that decision, because while we want to be respectful and not speculate about something like that, I think her making the decision to share that publicly can and really will give a lot of comfort to people who may be experiencing their mm-hmm. own battles, their own health battles, that they're not in it alone. And she said that in her message, you know, that, mm-hmm. that, you know, they can have hope, and that, you know, they're sort of struggling with something or experiencing something alongside another person that they really admire and look up to. And even if you don't have a health issue that you're struggling with, just knowing that, you know, feeling connected to someone on a personal level, mm-hmm. I think can help help calm fears around, you know, whatever, what she's going through, or, you know, the unknowns that people were worried about her. I think it was definitely the right choice for her to do that. As hard as it was, I just give so much admiration for her for doing that.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable courage. And that Friday afternoon was incredibly calm. As we said on the show last week, it felt like things had, you know, started to calm down as far as the craziness of the rumors and speculation. And just sitting here working, and about like a little after 1 o'clock Eastern, and I get a call from this producer that I know at CNN that I've worked with before when the Queen died and when Queen Elizabeth died. And he said, "Hey, I'm hearing that there is going to be a major news announcement today at 6 o'clock London time. Would you be available to come on air?" And I said, "Sure, but can you give me any," because as Jessica, as you know, it could be about multiple people. Like, it, you know, like, right. It's not like I was the first person I thought of was the king, actually. And I said, "Well, can you give me any kind of indication of what's going on?" He said, "I don't even know if there is going to be an announcement. We're just hearing buzz. There might be. Can I just put you on standby?" And I said, "Okay, yeah, sure." He had no idea. Then he calls back and he said, "Okay, this is happening. Can I get you to, you know, get on?" And I didn't realize it was with freaking Anderson Cooper. I mean, my gosh, like, what an honor. But he said, "Can I get you to hang out in the control room at 1:45? And, you know, if you do the math, the announcement was coming at 6 o'clock London time. That's 2 o'clock here. So I ended up waiting in the control room for a long time. It was fine. They had multiple people that needed to talk before I did. And I ended up not being on with Anderson very long, but I feel like I said what I needed to say. And the crux of that message is that women in the royal who marry into the royal family are treated so poorly. And yes, I recognize that there are people in the world that are treated far worse, but I'm talking in terms of celebrity, which is the area in which I work. In terms of celebrity, there are few people that are treated worse than a woman that marries into the royal family in the celebrity world. And that includes Meghan, and that includes Princess Diana, that includes Fergie, that includes Letizia of Spain, all of them. And I meant what I said, and I think that we can do better in treating each other better and treating women, whether it's Kate, Meghan, Fergie, Camilla, anyone, Met, Merit, Maxima, treating all of them better. And I am just completely and utterly stunned at this news. I think that I had a false sense of security that it couldn't get much worse for the royal family. I mean, I had truly no idea. I didn't have a clue, really, until probably the 1 o'clock hour before the announcement came out at 2. And I definitely didn't know that it was going to be Kate delivering the news. And thank God that I had to wait in the control room for so long, because had I been asked to go on air immediately after watching that video, I would have been a total mess. And I kind of was a mess anyway, but I'm just still stunned. I'm still, you know, I think all of us are kind of have whiplash from all of the events of the past 2-3 months. And I just say kudos to you, to the Princess of Wales, for having the courage to tell us all what's going on, not in a statement. Even a statement would have been sufficient for me, but I totally understand why she decided to do what she did. And well, yeah,
I think her message was so impactful. I almost felt like this collective across the world, everyone kind of went, "What?" you know, and like, yeah, paused and yeah, had a real hard look at the last month themselves. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels to me like everyone has collectively gotten really quiet online. Yeah. and are giving her privacy. And I truly believe and hope that that will continue. But we saw some celebrity apologies come out. We saw, you know, a lot of the chatter online just hush. And, mm-hmm, you know, I think it was a wake up call for a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope it is for all of us, a moment of reckoning of how do we engage online? How do we treat each other? Even people that we don't know and will never meet, let alone the ones we do know and have met, you know, how are we treating each other? And I think it was a huge slap in the face for a lot of people, all of us probably. And just continue to be in prayer for her health and hope that they're out at Anmer Hall, just getting away from it all. And by the way, I want to mention here that Kate disclosing her diagnosis has made it a palpable difference. So it drove historic website traffic to Macmillan Cancer Support, which is a leading UK charity for cancer information. On Monday, the Macmillan Cancer Support revealed that there were nearly 100,000 visits from Friday to Sunday, which is a 10% year-over-year increase, the highest weekend traffic since March 2020, when wow. the first COVID-19 lockdown hit the UK. A similar spike happened in February, back when King Charles announced his own diagnosis, when the site was visited almost 50,000 times a day. So it's proof that vulnerability makes a difference in many ways. So anything else? I mean, just the one sentence summary is that we're devastated and we pray for healing for all. But anything else to say before we begin to move on about this honestly just devastating announcement from the Princess of Wales?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, just echoing what you said, and we are sending our prayers her way and just have a lot of respect for her and what she chose to do.
Yeah. And so I hope that there will be little to report on with the Princess of Wales in the coming weeks, because I hope that she will take the time to take care of herself and that we will see her when we see her and that we send our love in the meantime. And I mentioned this briefly a minute ago, but the Wales Family of Five will not be at the Easter service at St. George's Chapel at Windsor this week. It's Easter this weekend, Jessica. When did that happen?
I know. I just
can't believe that that it is Easter. That I don't know where the time goes, but it has been confirmed that King Charles and Queen Camilla will be there, which is great news. So we will see them on Sunday, and I'm sure we'll talk about it next week. So really quick note as we close the Royal Rundown, or we're not closing the Royal Rundown, closing this part of the Royal Rundown, rather, about Meghan and American Riviera Orchard. I'm kind of leaning into American Riviera Orchard right now for happiness, honestly. Like, I'm super into this because it's bringing me some levity and some happiness in the midst of the tumult. But so I think this is super interesting. This just came out today. So she has added more items to the list of trademarks she's applying for. She applied for a lot the first go round, but the updated application has a new batch. This new batch includes, I think this is so interesting, cosmetics, candles, a fragrance, a whole host of other beauty products like soaps, creams, bath oils, gels, salts. There are a ton of linen type products. There are paper products like stationery and envelopes and the like. There's even outdoor furniture. And Jessica, for the dog, and I love dogs too, but not like Jessica, there are beds and pillows for household pets. So you can buy a pillow and a bed for a dog, so, or a cat, or whoever you have in your house. So I'm kind of leaning into that right now for some fun. But you know, the secondary love of my life, Peter Phillips, who never is in the public eye, but he was in the public eye this week. So what did he say?
Yeah. So like we said earlier, we've had a lot of statements come out from the royals regarding the Princess of Wales and King Charles. And I think that's kind of the theme of this episode is, you know, everything that we've been hearing. But I wanted to put this story in here for you, Rachel. I couldn't help but think of you when I saw this. So obviously, I guess you heard he did an interview about what's going on with the royal family right now.
Well, mostly from you, because I saw this pop up in the notes, but man, he is just so good looking. I'm sorry. Like, that's another great distraction from all the bad news. Thank you, Peter Phillips, for emerging.
Well, apparently he takes an annual trip to Australia, but while he was there this last weekend, he did an interview with Sky News. And I thought it was really interesting to hear someone, I mean, really and truly in the royal family, share an insider's perspective of everything that the family's been dealing with recently and really their awareness of kind of how they're perceived by the public. So he talked about his grandmother, the late Queen Elizabeth, and he actually shared that he was able to be with her for her last days in Balmoral. And then he was asked about King Charles' health, and he mentioned the king's eagerness to get back to work and how challenging it is for the king to rest for long periods of time. He said that he is in good spirits. And he said, I'm going to quote here. He said, he's obviously very keen to get back to a form of normality and probably frustrated that recovery is taking a little longer than probably he would want it to. So he also shared some comments on his mother, Princess Anne. He said she is incredibly hardworking, but being in her 70s, she's still working a lot harder than probably she would have expected. So I thought that was kind of interesting. He said, I think we're all aware that she's part of this very small core group of working royals who are picking up so many engagements in light of the King and the Princess of Wales medical leave. And then he acknowledged Princess Anne, you know, has sort of kind of gone under the radar, and that she's overlooked a bit when it comes to the work she does as a royal. So this is a quote from him. He said, she's always just kept her head down and she's kept supporting the organizations that she wants to support. They may not be the most interesting, the most, you know, on topic as it were, but for her, that doesn't matter. She's never been one that really worries how many column lines she gets. So
that's why we love you, Princess Anne. We love you.
That. And we talk about that too, about how she doesn't always get noticed in the headlines. But one more thing I do want to mention is he did also talk about the Princess of Wales. He said that William and Catherine make a fantastic team. And this is another quote from him. He said their kids are great and they have the balance of public life and trying to be parents to three young children, which is always difficult. They've got it pretty right because I think as history has taught us and anyone knows that actually you want to be there for your children. Mm-hmm. So the full interview is definitely worth a listen. If you missed it over the weekend, you can go find it online. It might be on YouTube or something, but it was great.
Treat yourselves, listeners. Treat yourselves to Peter Phelps.
Don't just listen. Go watch.
No, you definitely want to go watch. Go watch the interview. So some good news about Kate. Before Kate's news came out, we learned she has been working from home as she recovers, which is great, but I just hope she's taking care of herself at the same time. This work has included studying research on improving the lives of babies. So Kate's Royal Foundation Center for Early Childhood funded a 4-month-long trial of a baby observation tool, which can be used to spot signs of social and emotional development in young children. This is a statement from Kensington Palace that says the princess has been kept updated throughout the process. So the tool focuses on a baby's social behaviors like eye contact and facial expression to help practitioners and families better grasp how babies express their feelings. The results were overwhelmingly positive. Not my words. That is from an article that I read. And Kate apparently suggested the tool could be used in the UK after seeing a similar system during a royal visit to Denmark in 2022. I know you remember that visit.
I do.
So yeah. Here is a story I love about Kate. Love this story. It's a feel good one. So we reported last week that Kate was forced to miss the annual St. Patrick's Day parade she attends every year through her role as an honorary colonel of the Irish Guards. So the Sunday prior, the 17th, St. Patrick's Day was the first parade she'd missed in 7 years, actually. So though she was not there physically, her presence was certainly felt. I find this so cool. The Daily Mail reports she put around $2,500 towards the bill at the regimental bar in Aldershot so soldiers could enjoy pints of Guinness to celebrate the occasion at the post-parade party. Get this, this is a lot of freaking Guinness. The Daily Mail calculated that with that amount of money spent, the soldiers were treated to at least 700 pints of Guinness. Does the bar even have 700? I guess on St. Patrick's Day, probably, but perhaps, and you mentioned this, Jessica, last episode, but perhaps not surprisingly, the Sun reports that members from the Irish Guards gave 3 cheers to absent Kate, raising their bearskin helmets into the air as a mark of respect. If I had 700 pints of Guinness, I bet I would do the same. So I love that story. And just, again, a testament to this woman's character. So
I love that as well. I hope they manage to use some of that money to give a nice bowl of water to their Irish wolfhound.
That is a lot of Guinness, man. Like, I mean, just anyway, think about 700 pints, but I guess they had 700 pints to give. So it was drank.
Well, continuing on with our chat of, I guess, St. Patrick's Day themed things and Ireland, the Queen made a visit to Northern Ireland. She had a few engagements last week. And while she was there, she stopped off in Belfast to greet members of the public and visit a few food shops. She stopped at a local bakery and a local butcher and a delicatessen. And while she was there, she was given a few gifts and she also got a few questions about the King's health. So she said that King Charles was doing well, but he was disappointed he couldn't come. And the butcher shop she stopped at actually gave her some treats. They gave her some sausage, some vegetable rolls, and a Belfast pickle, which sounds interesting. I've never
I don't
had a
know what a Belfast pickle is, other than being a
but
pickle from Belfast.
She said that she would give them to the king and he would really make the most of them. And following her little stop at the butcher, I think we learned one thing about Camilla is that she gives the savory treats to Charles, but I think she's the one with the sweet tooth because she hopped over to the bakery and she was given a fruit loaf and an iced Madeira cake. And she made sure that they knew that she was going to eat some of those on her way home. So I hope she
Love
enjoyed
that.
those treats. So after she was there, she went on to Hillsborough Castle, which is the royal residence in Northern Ireland. And like I said, we've had a lot of St. Patrick's Day nods this month from our royals. So she was in a really lovely dark green coat. It had this velvet detailing. The coat was by Bruce Oldfield, and then she had it paired with black suede boots, and she looked lovely.
She did look lovely. I loved her outfit that day.
Another fun little engagement. So we saw Princess Eugenie out in London for an event. She was at the opening of the Little Egg Hunt. How fun is that?
That's so
With
cute.
Right around the corner. Yeah. So this is an art installation in Chelsea, London, where artists are building a live Easter egg trail around the neighborhood. And it's headed by an organization called Elephant Family. So their mission is to protect Asian elephants. And she was there doing a book reading for children who attend the Garden House School. And she read the book Elmer. And I have to ask you, Rachel, are you familiar with this book?
I am not. Are you familiar with this book?
No, I was not either. So I Googled it and it looks like it's about a patchwork elephant. It was very colorful. The elephant was colorful in his patchwork. And from what I read in the overview of the book, he is basically the clown of his elephant friend group. He's got all these wild colors and jokes. But the moral of the story is that it's okay to be different and we all bring something unique to the communities that we're a part of.
That's
So.
cool.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw her outfit, but I was really loving that burgundy coat she had on. That was so pretty. I thought it looked great on her. It was definitely a good color for her. However, much like Camilla, she was also asked about the king. And so she had something to say as well. She said he was doing well. And she also mentioned that he would be very proud of her engagement because Elephant Family is an organization that is actually close to his heart. And a little fun fact about Elephant Family, that organization was co-founded by Mark Shand. And if you're not familiar with Mark Shand, he is Queen Camilla's late brother. So he passed away in 2004, but he was a co-founder of that organization.
Yeah, and they were super close, Camilla and Mark. So that's awesome. And speaking of Eugenie, by the way, we mentioned this very briefly in the last episode, but her 34th birthday was on Saturday, March 23rd, this past Saturday. A bit lost in Friday's announcement, but we did again briefly mention it on the show last week. Sarah Ferguson, Eugenie's proud mom, wrote on Instagram, "Happy birthday to my amazing daughter, Princess Eugenie. I'm so proud." She didn't call her Princess Eugenie. She tagged her at Princess Eugenie. I don't think she calls her daughter Princess Eugenie. Or maybe she does. Who knows? But anyway, back to her comments. "I'm so proud of the incredible woman you've grown up to be. You continue to amaze me every day in your hard work, your grace, kindness, and the care you show to others. You will always be my silly, sweet, smart, and thoughtful girl. I love you, Eugenie. Happy birthday." So sweet. And then on Sunday, the next day, Eugenie herself posted a new photo on Instagram of her baby son Ernest to mark her birthday the previous day. She wrote, "The best gift of all are my boys," referring to both of her sons and her husband, Jack, I assume. "So on this birthday, I'm cherishing family and loved ones." And this was written alongside a photo of her holding Ernie, who is 9 months old, up into the air. So happy belated birthday.
Happy birthday. That was a cute photo.
It was a cute photo.
Well, we do. Before we wrap up today's episode, we have just a few stories in Royals Around the World. We don't have a ton to report on, but we'll go ahead and chat. First, we've got a little bit of news from Sweden. So Crown Princess Victoria of Sweden just wrapped up 4 days in Bangladesh. She was there last weekend, and she was there in her role as Goodwill Ambassador for the UN Development Program. So while on her visit, she learned about a project between the UN Development Program and a local community to improve access to clean water. And then this is really kind of fun. She visited Asian University for Women. And while there, she had the opportunity to unveil a portrait of herself. Yeah. It was a big picture, and she looked really happy and excited to kind of pull the curtain back. And the portrait will remain displayed at the university. While she was on campus, she gave a speech to students and staff members, and she spent a little bit of time talking with everyone there. So after that engagement, she traveled to a more rural area where she learned about another UN project focused on locals being impacted by climate change. And then on her last day, she visited the Swedish embassy and she met with some financial organizations. And she was quoted saying, "My hope is that our visit has further strengthened Sweden's and Bangladesh's joint effort in accelerating the work on the sustainable development goals." So she was pretty busy on this trip, but we got some really fun pictures. I need to share them on our Instagram. We saw one of her interacting with a lot of local residents and children. I saw one of her in this beautiful floral headpiece that she was wearing. And then I saw a picture of her holding a fish, like a live fish. Oh. And then another one holding the cutest little baby goat. I mean, she looked so comfortable holding this little goat. It's like, I wonder if she has experience on a farm or something.
I don't know. I don't really know if the Swedish royal family does like country like Sandringham or whatever, but who knows.
Yeah, I mean, he was sitting up and had his little mouth open and she was just holding him. He was very cute. So I'll share that. And then one more note on this, it was her first mission in her role with the UN development program. So
awesome.
Yeah, that's, it looks
cool.
Like fun.
Cool. Well, let's have a little fun in Monaco before we close the Royals Around the World, shall we? So in Monte Carlo this past weekend, Christian Louboutin threw, as Tatler put it, a shimmering charity party for the stars and the glitziest and grandest occasion in Europe. Whoa, that's a pretty wow. High billing. So Princess Charlene was there. I don't think she wasn't at this event last year. She doesn't often attend this event, so it was cool to see her there. But she wore a stunning silver pink Ely Saab jumpsuit. It's perfectly on theme, as this year's Rose Ball was Disco Ball de la Rose Monaco. Even disco legend Gloria Gaynor was there. She performed I Will Survive and Never Can Say Goodbye. Love that. Mm-hmm. So the Rose Ball happens every year. It was established by Princess Grace of Monaco, and the event now raises money for her charitable foundation following her death in a car accident in 1982. So the Rose Ball is actually named after Princess Grace's favorite flower, the rose, and the Princess Grace Foundation helps raise money for the next generation of performers to get their start in the arts, which of course honors Grace. I don't think that this is going to be news to any of you listeners, but Princess Grace was Grace Kelly, the Academy Award winning actress, before she married into Monica's royal family. But this honors Grace's, of course, successful career in Hollywood. So at the Rose Ball every year, around 800 guests are typically invited. It is chaired by Princess Caroline, who is the eldest child of Prince Rainier and Princess Grace, who have both passed away. So the pictures from this looked amazing. They went full out on this disco theme. Charlotte Cosrali was there. I mean, it was a party. So I like to talk. Well, we started with some heavy stuff, but we're going to close with a party. So that's that for episode 133. Oh my God. Like every week I'm like, okay, well we've hit, I'm not even going to say that right now. I'm just going to say, God help us all. And, and you know, just continued prayers for all who have cancer, but especially the three in the royal family who are close to our heart.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much to everyone for hanging out with us again for another episode of Podcast Royal. And don't stop here. Continue on and join us on Instagram. You can find us at Podcast Royal over there. Like Rachel said at the beginning of the episode, we have been overwhelmed with the DMs and the emails. We've tried to get back to everyone. Hopefully we didn't miss anyone, but you can always catch us, you know, through DM or email. If you do want to send us an email, that address is hellopodcastsroyal@gmail.com. And we always appreciate the 5-star ratings and the nice reviews. So please take time to do that over on Apple Podcasts. And thank you again for tuning into episode 133 of Podcast Royal. Bye.
Bye.